All right, welcome NHL fans to the Locked On NHL podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I am your co-host for today's episode, Chris Maselli from the Locked On Avalanche podcast, here with Adam Denker from the Locked On Lightning podcast, filling in for Justin on his Thursday time slot for the next couple weeks, maybe, Adam?
I don't know. I guess it's TBD.
Yeah.
At this point.
Right. But we're taking the keys to the car for this one for a couple weeks. So some things to get to around the league that we will be talking about today. Trade happening. Yes, trades are happening. A head coach hiring. Definitely going to talk about, because Adam is here, host of the Locked On Lightning. We'll be talking about the Lightning and where they stand in the playoff scenario right now. And touch on the NHL draft, which is actually only a couple weeks away, which is odd. This whole thing is odd. This whole bubble thing just continues to be an odd situation, does it not?
I mean, it's just like playing hockey in the Twilight Zone. I think that's just the best way to describe it at this point.
Pretty much. Yeah. So where we start? We're going to start with the trade. I just think it's odd that trades are happening. And how is this working, first of all, with trades? Can Tampa Bay go out and make a trade right now if they wanted to? Or I don't think they can because they're still playing.
Yeah, I was wondering that myself, actually, a couple of days ago when Point got hurt and it looked like the Lightning were going to maybe not have him in the lineup for a little bit. I was like, can the Lightning trade for maybe exactly. – can they probably get someone and bring him in the bubble? Maybe
don't make a trade.
Yeah,
I don't think they can, but a trade was, and this is not the first trade that's been made, obviously, but the Minnesota Wild and Buffalo Sabres made a deal. Elder statesman Eric Staal went to Buffalo in exchange for Marcus Johansson. Straight up, that was it. I don't think, was there anything else involved in this? I don't think any picks or any, you know, AHL guys were involved. I think it was a one for one.
Yeah, I think we were talking about it a little bit before we started recording. I think this was honestly just a salary dump. He has 2 years left with $6.5 million, coming off the books for Minnesota. So I think this is them just trying to get things going in terms of possibly rebuilding.
I think there's clearly some money involved here, sure, but you think it's two birds in one stone. Okay, you're maybe getting a little, saving a few million. I don't know what Johansson's making. We could probably look that up quickly, but it's probably money and age.
Yeah,
Minnesota's an old team, and being, you know, an Avalanche fan and watching them multiple times throughout the season, sometimes it shows their age. So I think they saw this, and you're not getting, I don't think you're even getting Eric Staal caliber player when you get Johansson from Buffalo, but I think you're getting someone that's like close enough, I guess, and is serviceable. So
yeah, I think what really Buffalo is really getting in this situation is someone that young captain Jack Eichel could kind of learn more from. I'm sure that Buffalo Sabre fans are not happy by kind of Buffalo making headlines by trading for Eric Staal. And I'm sure, you know, I joked around with you before this that saying that Jack Eichel is probably destroying his house right now just because he, you know, I think he spoke at one point, or, you know, there was kind of like a interaction he had with a reporter towards the end of the season, well, when the playoffs are starting, that they tried to egg him on saying that he needed more help, which obviously he does up there in Buffalo. So I think that maybe is, you know, something he wasn't looking for, but at the same time, it could work out in his favor in terms of his possible long-term development. I guess we could agree that he's still developing as a player. Yeah.
I guess so. I mean, yeah. Which is scary.
Yeah, I know, which is insane.
Yeah, so, no, this is not one that's going to really, you know, be earth-shattering for either franchise, I don't think. But I guess if you had to pick a winner, who would you say? Because I guess there are some positives that can be drawn from both sides. Do you think one in the long run will have made out than the other?
I would have to say probably Buffalo, because they're getting a grizzled veteran. They're getting a guy who's won a cup, so he knows what it takes to get to that point.
Yeah.
And also, he could potentially – I could see him getting traded at the deadline this upcoming season to a potential playoff team. I mean, he could definitely be one of those guys that maybe gets dealt at the deadline as for maybe – depending on the season – that he's having at that point is maybe that extra piece to a team that's just on the fringe, either trying to get into the playoffs or just, you know, wants to get one more piece to possibly solidify a potential long-term cup run.
All right. Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. So I think this is, you know, we're at the cusp of wheeling and dealing because, you know, things are happening quick. Free agency is around the corner. Trade or the draft is around the corner. So teams are going to be doing this, I think, a little bit more often. We have a head coach signing. I think this is a big one. I think Peter Laviolette going to the Washington Capitals, I think, is a great hire. I've always been a fan of him, and I shouldn't be because, you know, he was the host of a division rival. But he I just like his demeanor. He presents as, you know, this calm, cool, collected guy, but he will rip your face off if you're not playing well. Yeah. He's a hockey coach. If you were to put his image up in front of somebody that doesn't know a damn thing about hockey, and you would say, "What does this guy do for his career?" They would go, "Oh, he's a hockey coach. He just looks like a hockey coach." So
yeah,
I think he's a great signing. What do you think?
It's a no-brainer. I think it's a no-brainer. I think especially after all the trouble that the Caps had and the way they went out in the playoffs. I mean, this team, if you remember correctly, they were just massively underprepared for these playoffs. They just went out there with zero game plan and they ended up getting swept by the Islanders. I mean, I'm not saying that the Islanders, maybe I'm sounding a little biased right now. I'm not saying the Islanders are not a good team, but at the same time, a team like the Capitals, who are only maybe a couple of seasons removed from winning a cup,
yeah,
you shouldn't be going out like that.
I know.
So this is definitely a great, great head coach hiring, especially by the Caps. I mean, this guy, I'm looking at his resume right now. He's almost won everywhere he's been. He won a cup, obviously, in Carolina. He brought Philly to a Stanley Cup Finals. He brought Nashville to a Stanley Cup Finals. Since 2001, when he started with the Islanders, he has 248 wins. So, you know, he's a winner. I mean, that, what more could you ask for? He, other than this past season, he's almost finished in the top third almost every year, except maybe two or three as a head coach. So, I mean, if you're a Capitals fan, and I'm sure Amy Rothenberger from Locked On Capitals is jumping through the roof right now, you couldn't have asked for a better way to kind of start your offseason in signing a guy like this.
No, and I think he was picky about where he wanted to go. Was he fired mid-season?
Yes, which I think was a bad decision by Nashville.
Right. So I think he's at the point of his career where, you know, he's not ready to join a rebuilding team. I think he's kind of paid his dues, you know, around the league. So I think, you know, him taking a job like Washington, who is geared up and ready to go, and maybe just need a guy like him to get them back to where they were just a couple years ago, which, like you're saying, like, it's very odd that they could not come out and perform like they had only a couple years ago to win the cup. But
yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, just to add on to that, I mean, if you looked at those games, I mean, they were just doing early 2000s capital strategy. Let's just go out there, hopefully Obi scores a few and we could keep you know, more out of the net than the other team. Yeah. And obviously that doesn't work in today's hockey. And they have a lot of players that are kind of going over the hill in their careers, but with a coach like Laviolette, I don't see a reason as to why not they, you know, to echo what you said, they can't be get back to where they were a couple of years ago.
Yeah. It's, you know, oftentimes a coach hiring doesn't really, I mean, yeah, there's good coach hirings and stuff like that, but they don't scare you. Like, it's almost like this was like a match just made in heaven. And it's like, okay, like the Capitals are scary again because of the head coach.
Yeah. I mean, that was ironically enough, the situation that happened with the Islanders with Barry Trotz.
Yes.
They were, in my mind, especially being in the Eastern Conference, they were sort of a non-factor, especially after the departure of Tavares. And then he comes into the equation. It's like, whoa, you know, let's watch out for these guys. I mean, you know, you see what they've been doing to my Lightning all series long.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about that in just a little bit. But,
yes.
You know, without Trotz, I don't think the Islanders make it this far. So, you know, it shows you, especially in this playoff run, if you want to look at a prime example, it shows you how valuable a coach is, not only in hockey, but just in sports in general. You know, a lot of people have this misconception that players run the team, and yeah, maybe in the NBA, but not here in the National Hockey
League. Right. Yeah, definitely. So good hire. I think that's going to pay dividends definitely immediately.
Yeah. So, that's going to be a headache next season. Not definitely. Looking forward to that.
Yes. You have to deal with it more than I do. So have fun. All right. We're going to hear from some sponsors, then we're going to hear about your team. So let's hear from rockauto.com. And chain stores have different pricing tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. rockauto.com's prices are the same for everybody and are reliably low. rockauto.com always offers the lowest prices possible. Rather than charging prices based on what the market will bear like airlines do, rockauto.com is for everybody and does not require membership or account login. rockauto.com is a family business serving auto part customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. rockauto.com, in the checkout, when they ask, where did you hear from us? Make sure you type in Locked On. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. That is rockauto.com. And we're also going to hear from DoorDash and the DoorDash app. You've counted on restaurants. Now they are counting on you. And while their dining rooms may be closed, they are still open for delivery with DoorDash. DoorDash is the app that brings your food to you, anything that you are craving right now. Ordering is easy. Open the DoorDash app, choose what you want to eat, and your food will be left safely outside your door with the new contactless driving drop-off setting. With over 300,000 partners in the U.S., Puerto Rico, Canada, and Australia, you can support your local go-tos or choose from your favorite national restaurants. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter the promo code LOCKEDONNHL. That is $5 off and zero delivery fees on your first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter the code LOCKEDONNHL. Do not forget, that code is LOCKEDONNHL. $5 off your first order. All right, sir. Let's get into on the ice hockey, which includes your team. I thought they had that game, the last one, that went double overtime. Going into the overtime session on a power play, nothing happens. And I don't want to drive home the loss because I know you've probably suffered enough for it. But are you feeling a little nervous? Do you feel like they're still in a good space? Like, what is going on in the minds of Lightning fans right now?
Well, I'm just going to throw a little plug off the bat to make my point real quick. If you want to hear me go completely off about last night's loss, go ahead to listen to yesterday's
episode.
I was... So apparently there's this misconception now in the hockey world, notably hockey Twitter, which is just a vast black hole of craziness and insanity. There's this idea now that is starting to gain a lot of traction, and that's that the Lightning have already lost this series. And I'm just going to come out here, and I basically said this in layman's terms on my show I basically echoed Will Ferrell in Old School. You know, everybody has to stop freaking out. We can't lose our composure. Okay. If I had a chair in my hand while I was doing my episode, I would have done it. I would have slammed it against the wall. Just don't to make go, an extra point.
Don't go streaking but, through the quad is what you're saying.
Exactly. Just, you know, just, you know, anything I could to just get my point across. But yeah, here's the thing. Yeah. And to all the hockey fans that may think this season, the series, see, I'm struggling to get out right now. The series isn't over. It's far from over. Right. Now, may we see sort of a situation that happened last round with what happened to the Islanders with the Flyers? Right now, I'm not saying it's going to happen. Is that something I'm completely, deathly afraid of? Of course, yes. That's not something I want to have, because you have a healthy, very frustrating to play against team in the Dallas Stars, and I'm sure you could echo this as well. Just, I mean, we spoke about this when we did our crossover early on when the playoffs started, about how frustrating it is to play against the Dallas Stars. So, you know, going into a potential 7-game series against those guys, being kind of already gassed from playing, and I'm going to be honest, they're unnecessary games, especially if the Lightning do win this series. But it was just, to sum up what happened the other day, just not enough urgency, just the effort. And I always hate to question effort on these guys, because I know they're really going out there and giving it their all. But when your best player goes out there and the only guy to score a goal for you is your defenseman, it's a little concerning, considering how they've played without point in this series thus far. They've lost each time point has not played. They've lost, and it's been it hasn't even been quality losses to where you could take something positive away. Sure. It's the only things that you see. I mean, they started to really kind of gain some momentum after the Hedman goal 4 minutes into the second period. And then they did score a goal, Carter Verhaeghe, but it was waved off on the obvious offsides call.
Yeah.
You actually texted me afterwards later in the game saying you thought it was –
Because I had to record my show, and I don't even think they came together as a team to celebrate the goal when I had shut it off. And I'm like, oh, all right, that's good. And I shut it off, went downstairs, recorded my show, looked at the end of my episode. I'm looking at my phone, and I'm like, wait a minute. I thought it was 2-1. And that's when I sent you the text, and I didn't even stick around to see that the replay. But yeah, it was a clear as day offside.
Well, here's the thing. I was more upset about why it wasn't called in real time.
Immediately. Yeah,
exactly. Because Locked On Islanders host Gil Martin actually messaged me during the whole thing went down, to kind of throw a jab at me, saying he was so offsides the ref didn't even see him. He was already past them in the play. And I mean, he was absolutely right. I mean, then again, the refereeing during the entire playoffs has just been absolutely atrocious. But that's the kind of thing, and I spoke about it on my show, that takes the wind out of your sails right away. I don't care if it was obvious or maybe on the fringe of being on offsides. That's the kind of thing, especially when this team is down, you know, they're missing two of their best offensive keys. If you look at them, I mean, yeah, Kucherov is definitely up there, but the guys that have been the guys all season long, you know, you have Stamkos, obviously, who they've been playing without. Okay, that's one strike. That's someone who they could kind of live and die without.
Right.
Point's really kind of the X factor in all of this.
Absolutely.
And just the way he's playing. I mean, they have, for the first time all year, really, you know, up until now, they've been playing with this next man up mentality. I mean, they've been having contributions all over the place, from Carter Verhaeghe to Victor Hedman to Alex Killorn, who was having a career year. Mm-hmm. And to take away Braden Point, who now they could finally say, okay, this guy is kind of our go-to guy. Take him away for 2 games. I mean, it's a bad reaction as a team to kind of look towards then at Vasilevskiy, Kucherov, and Hedman, say, all right, you guys got us. But it just shows you how valuable Braden Point is to this team, and why, if they do end up winning the cup, why he should be an undisputed winner for the Conn Smythe.
Yeah, this has been like his coming out party, really.
I mean he's just exceeded all expectations. It's one of those things where you've seen it all year, where with Lightning fans, and I speak about it frequently on my show, how you really forgot how good this guy was. I mean, you forget last offseason he had double hip surgery.
Really?
He's like 24 years old, so that's already a scary thing.
we all have double hip surgery at 24 years old. Come on.
Yeah, exactly. And then he kind of gets his legs back during this whole pause, and then he's basically Braden Point 2.0.
Right.
And then he goes down again, and it's kind of scary because it looks like it's a hip injury. Mm-hmm. So you're just kind of on the edge of your seat. But at the same time, the big controversial thing that I don't think is getting a lot of talk right now is that when he was asked about it, I believe in pregame, Coach Cooper flat out said, we're just trying to manage him. So that, unless there's more to the story than Coach Cooper is saying, which nine Probably. Times out of 10 is the whole story, trying to manage your best player in a potential series clinching game,
yeah,
that's not really something you want to kind of talk about publicly.
Sure.
And I'm sure Braden Point, unless he physically couldn't walk to the arena, whatever the case may be, I don't see him kind of saying, hey, coach, I can't go tonight. Because all these guys are competitors. So I don't think I would expect him back for game six. Definitely game seven if something goes really wrong in game six.
Right.
Where in that case, if there's a game seven, expect the Lightning to pull Stamkos out of the closet finally to make an appearance in this playoffs. Game seven is all hands on deck. So Braden, I mean, he's just been unbelievably incredible. And that's not even it's not even elaborate enough word to describe how much he's meant to this team's performance. I mean, is there anybody during this entire playoffs that you've seen that's maybe been on the same level for any team, maybe for your Avalanche through their run?
Well, I mean, Nathan MacKinnon was a man possessed. I read somewhere today that even though, they were eliminated, he's still leading the NHL in points for the playoffs.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's a freak. But I'll tell you a hell that is my life right now, and that is what Semyon Varlamov is doing. Because he would still be with the Avalanche if he could have done that.
Yeah.
He is. We saw glimpses of that in Colorado early, and then we had a solid 2 years. They gave him time, maybe even 3 years, really. If you really want to go back a little bit even further, he started to kind of his play went down, and to the point where they couldn't keep. Yeah, he was the liability. So they just didn't sign him. And then obviously he went to the Islanders, and he's even had a resurgence in his career there. And man, like he's looked like the Varlamov of old. He really has looked great. And I know that's probably not what you want to hear coming from, but it's this is the playoffs. This is where like goalies step up and look at what Khudobin has done on Dallas.
Yeah.
Nobody thought that he was going to be doing what he's doing. And I'm kind of like kicking myself because I did a crossover with the girls who do the Locked On Flyer show. It was me, them. And then we had two beat writers, one from the Vancouver Canucks and one from the Boston Bruins. And we did like these two losers club, quote unquote, shows for all the teams that get eliminated, and we were picking our Stanley Cup final teams, and all of us went Vegas Lightning, and yeah. I didn't think it was even going to be a chance that Dallas could get past Vegas at all, let alone in five games. Like, are you kidding?
Yeah, I know. That was like an insane turn of events.
It was amazing, and I should have known because they just went up against the Avalanche, and I was not giving – I gave them credit, but I wasn't giving them enough credit for beating Colorado the way they beat Colorado. I thought Colorado did not play up to their standard, and Dallas took advantage of that. And I thought Vegas would exploit that, and they didn't. Dallas is a legit team.
Yeah, I mean, it's – and the thing about Khudobin that's really impressed me is that he's really not doing anything really, like, spectacular. I mean, it's not like he's not, like, doing these – he's not having these ridiculous saves that you might see through the playoffs that could be, you know, the difference between losing and winning a game. And just to echo what you said about, you know, how crazy, you know, this whole Dallas beating Vegas situation is that I spoke on my interview with Greg Wyshynski of ESPN, and he was, I mean, Greg is one of the top guys in the industry when it comes to hockey and all that. And I mean, he was like 100% sure that this was going to be Vegas, Tampa. He actually told me that he picked them in the preseason picks as his picks for the finals. And that's ironically around this time that Dallas started to really kind of turn it on. And I mean, it's how, like, can we just talk about Jamie Benn for a minute? How, like, just how much of a resurgence, talk about resurgence with Varlamov. What about Jamie Benn? I mean, and I never thought I would see this kind of Jamie Benn ever again after he had that big campaign a couple of years back.
Right. He's not the most well-liked man in Avalanche circles right now.
Oh, I wonder why. But yeah. I mean, this, the whole playoffs though has just been filled with just weirdness. I should have known when I was watching. I just had like a feeling about Dallas in the early, when they beat Calgary, I believe it was the first round. It was one of those things where when the tide of that whole series was starting to kind of shift in favor. And when I say shift, I mean Dallas was like dominating at one point. Like, yeah. You would have thought that maybe they would have should have been the first seed out of all of this.
Yeah,
you would have, and it was surprising enough. I saw a stat the other day and it just shows how much depth they have. In that entire series against Vegas, I believe Tyler Seguin had, I believe the stat was 2 points or 2 goals throughout the entire series. Okay. So just for to have a guy like that, then again, Sagan's kind of declined in recent years. To have still one of your guys that's really supposed to be one of your big scoring guys just really be a no-show, as, you know, Tyler Johnson's been for most of the series with the Islanders, just to be that successful. I mean, what can you say to NHL fans about, you know, these young players on Dallas that are just absolutely lightening up as, you know, they've gone through this run?
I mean, the one who his name is escaping, the defender that they got there,
I believe he leads like all defensemen in like goals right now too for the playoffs, which is like insane stat. But
why am I blanking on his name? He's their rookie guy that they got. I'm looking him over. Heiskanen.
Yeah,
Miro Heiskanen. Wow, yeah, he is something else. That's going to be the Avalanche division is set up for defenders for a while. between Makar and Heiskanen and even Bowen Byram coming up and Quinn Hughes and Vancouver. I don't know, like Dallas, they started to play a different type of game than they have been all year, really. And they started to score. They started to score a lot, and that was just something that came out of nowhere. We did a round robin crossover with the host from the Vegas show and the two hosts from the Dallas show. The Blues guys didn't want to join us for whatever. I think they were like in their championship mode at that point in time. They didn't want to join us. So but I had said on that show, I'm like, I really, when we were kind of making our predictions, I'm like, I really hope it's not a Dallas Islanders Stanley Cup final, because that will be the most boring Stanley Cup final in history. Like, all will be 1-0 games.
Yeah.
And I think that's, I mean, it's on the, not, I think the Lightning will still take this, It's on the verge of happening, but it will be the total opposite of that. Dallas is scoring, and I mean the Islanders are kind of, they're not really, I mean they're still playing Islander style hockey,
which was basically regular season Stars hockey. So
yes,
you know, there's exactly. Really, so if you're kind of rooting for those listening that are maybe cheering for a Dallas Stars New York Islanders Stanley Cup final, I'm just warning you right now, expect there to be maybe on average 25 shots apiece per game. Very low scoring. Lot of defense played.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, it's just one of those old school era NHL hockey types, you know, which they call the dead puck era kind of series. But it would be interesting. It really interesting, just not only from as a Lightning fan, but just from a hockey, you know, analytical point of view, would be really interesting to watch if, you know, if the Lightning do pull this off. I mean, everybody, I think, you know, we're, other than the thousands of people that are overreacting on Twitter, fully expect this to kind of pull this off regardless. More of a kind of defensive oriented team, even though they are really like lighting it up with goals, playing against one of the highest scoring teams in the NHL for the past 5 years.
Yeah.
And if they get Stamkos back in a healthy point, I mean, it's going to come down to the goaltenders. Really.
Do you think Tampa Bay takes the risk and sits point for game six, just in case if it does go to a game seven and then you have him even a little bit healthier? Or do you think they just, you know, let's get this thing over with and let's put our best guys out there?
I think Cooper learns his lesson from what happened in game five. I think that if anything, if there's any risk taking that happens, if there is a game seven, I would expect number 91 out there on the ice for the Lightning, Steven Stamkos.
Yeah.
Because that's kind of like the whole, you know, now you're just throwing anything at this team to just really get them going. And I think him being out there for the first time, regardless if he makes a huge contribution or not, and obviously this is all, you know, speculation because there might not even be a game seven at this point. We're still haven't even played game six, which will be going on tonight. Mm-hmm. I think really, all hockey fans know, if you've been following the Lightning this entire run, the Lightning are just through these, and I spoke about it early on, they're just a totally different team on the ice when points on out there. He opens up everything for this team. He just, believe it or not, he gets teams to forget, because he's just playing so well now, they forget that Nikita Kucherov is also out there on the ice, which is a scary thing.
Right.
And so that opens up the ice for him. And now the funny thing with Kucherov is that he hasn't been really scoring a ton of goals out there. He's been playing more of the facilitator role that you normally see from Stamkos. So that opens up the doors for a guy like Victor Hedman. Interesting stat. He has 8 goals now in the playoffs. And that's the most goals by a defenseman in the playoffs since Brian Leetch back in 94 when the Rangers won the Cup. So that's kind of maybe a good thing for Lightning fans to hang their hat on.
Right.
So, he's such a dynamic player, not only by his skill, his speed, but just the way he makes the other team react to certain things he does on the ice. I mean, we saw it, I believe, in game one. Just, I don't know if you remember, it was about, I want to say, 4 minutes into the game, and he took the puck right into the zone. Little stutter step, just enough to get by, I believe it was Jordan Eberle. Scored right on Thomas Greiss to start it off. And I mean, granted, did they pull Greiss, who, you know, a little early in that game? Absolutely. But I mean, it worked out for the best. I mean, now Varlamov's playing and he's hot. So,
right.
But just, you know, you've seen it throughout this entire run, just how incredible of a player he is. I mean, you would almost be crazy and kind of saying, you know, I'm willing to gamble my job, because that could be a potential disaster for Coach Cooper. You know, if he chooses to sit point for game six.
Yeah.
You know, think about the ramifications if, you know, that, especially after what happened last year with the Blue Jackets. And I know they got past kind of that monkey on their back with beating them the first round. But still, you know, it's having those two big things happen consecutively in two straight years. I mean, that's, you're really gambling a lot other than just, you know, a playoff run at that point.
That's why I would not want to be a head coach to make a decision like that.
It's the worst. But like I said, I think they play point. I think that he having the 2 days off now is more than enough time to kind of, you know, kind of at least put at bay whatever it is. Now, the real key is going to be to see if it maybe springs up throughout the game, because he, the last game he played in it, he did miss almost half of the third period because he left early, because he re-aggravated whatever it is. So, I mean, there's obviously, that's going to be a big question mark as to how well he does perform even with these two games.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. We shall see. I think it'll be a good one. Regardless, it'll be a good game. So
yeah, hopefully the Lightning could do something.
Yeah, and we can get going to the grand poobah.
Yeah.
So all right, let's hear from our friends over at Roman, and then we'll talk a little bit about the draft right around the corner. And talking about erectile dysfunction is not easy. Usually, we just brush it off, blaming ourselves, saying things like "I lost my mojo," "I had a long day at work," or "I'm not feeling it." But with Roman, it is easy to talk about with a real healthcare professional who can prescribe real medication. It's simple, safe, totally discreet. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. A healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, Roman will ship it to you with free 2-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward, simple, and discreet. To get started, it's simple. Just go to GetRoman.com and complete an online visit. Erectile dysfunction used to be tough to tackle, but now there is Roman. Complete an online visit today to connect with a healthcare professional and take care of it. Go to GetRoman.com/LockedOnNHL today. And if approved, you'll get $15 off your first order of ED treatment. That is GetRoman.com/LockedOnNHL. Once again, GetRoman.com/LockedOnNHL. Okay. Draft is what? October 3rd, I believe. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I believe so.
2.5 weeks away, which is just bizarre because, you know, we haven't even started the Stanley Cup final yet.
Yeah.
So this is going to come fast and furious, and signings are going to be happening fast and furious. I guess we can, if you want to include free agents here, but I know we said we're going to talk about the draft, but the draft is all about, you know, the top guy and Alex Lafreniere. So, you know, he's going to the Rangers. Have you read up on him much? I mean, other than just what is talked about in the media, how familiar with him are you, and are you expecting massive things from him like everybody else is?
I've looked at, I mean, it's really not hard, especially when you're the best player on the planet to, yeah, in terms, you know, coming into the NHL, you know, it's not hard to go you don't have to search far to find highlights of Lafreniere. I mean, yeah, he is just from, I think if he doesn't win a couple of cups in New York, I think that maybe, especially in that market, I think he might be considered a bust. And I know that's, he's obviously 18 years old. But if you look at, you know, the kind of player he is, he's super skilled. He won a junior gold medal with Team Canada. He was basically kind of like the heart and soul of that team. He's so mature for his age. He's already projected to score 75 points his rookie year.
What? Where yeah, is that?
In my brief readings about him and just everything that I've seen from his highlights, I believe even NHL Network even went out on a limb. Somebody from NHL Network, I forgot who it was, even said 80.
No.
It's insane. I mean, just from I'm going to read off some tallies real quick, just some things. He had 30 multi-point games and scored 42 points in 20 games after returning from the World Juniors,
yep,
where he scored 10 points in 5 games.
Okay.
And he's actually, well, I mean, it's funny in this article, it says he could, I mean, if he goes number one. I mean, he's going number one. I think it's a sure thing. I'd be shocked. This isn't the NFL draft where they could just trade down. He could become the third player from the Quebec Junior Hockey League to be chosen number one in the past 8 years. And that's the others are your boy, Nathan MacKinnon, Nico Hischier, and obviously Sid the Kid.
Right.
So
good pedigree.
Yeah, I think he's in a good good conversation. But I just think that the situation he's going into in New York as a because as a first overall pick, you're usually going to be the main piece in really revamping that franchise most times. But
he doesn't have to be there.
Exactly. I mean, yeah. If you look at he's just right now his whole role is to just develop himself and basically sort of be maybe a supporting player in all this. I mean, just, you know, off the top of my head, they have Panarin, they have Zibanejad, they got, you know, Shesterkin, who's going to be their top goalie for years to come.
Mm-hmm.
And if for whatever reason that doesn't work out, they have a very good, I don't know why an ad just played, so I'll redo that again. That was very strange. That just played for absolutely no reason. So if you look at his situation in New York, I mean, he is really going into probably one of the best situations a number one overall pick could really ask for. They're already an established team in terms of talent. I mean, he's most times as the number one overall pick, you're going into a situation in which you're going to be the main point of focus in the vamping of a franchise. But I mean, he's going to be playing with Panarin. He's going to be playing with Shesterkin. He's going to be playing with Zibanejad. List goes on. He's going to be playing with Kaapo Kakko. I mean, another guy who's still kind of figuring himself out in the NHL who could potentially be one of the top players on this team. So, I don't see a reason as to why maybe some of those expectations aren't entirely unreasonable in terms of him maybe winning a couple of cups. Right. And also the other thing on that is that he has such a great personality. He's the kind of guy where he doesn't shy away from the spotlight. I mean, he won a World Junior Hockey Tournament with Team Canada as its captain. And, you know, I don't know if you heard, but hockey's pretty big in Canada, so you know, for him to do that and play the way he has and then go into a market just as big in terms of hockey craze in New York, I think it's the perfect fit for both sides going in. So I think it's I don't see a reason as to why it wouldn't work out unless he just doesn't, you know, perform.
I think he'll be just fine, and you know, I mean, he could not ask for a better landing spot, honestly. Oh, like, yeah. You know, 2020 sucks for everybody except for him.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's going to – What more could you ask for?
No. I mean, the only thing with him is I mean, it's true for so many of these guys coming up because they're so young. Like, he's got to bulk up. You know, he needs to put some more muscle on, which he will do, and that is Nathan MacKinnon to a T. Nathan MacKinnon was a scrawny kid, but you know, he could play and he had a fantastic rookie season, and now look at him. Like, you can't move that guy. And I think that will be Alex here, but I think, yeah, I mean, he's consensus number one. I don't see any reason why they would pick anybody other than him. And you know, living in New York, like, you do too, right? Or no, you?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. So I'm sure you have some Ranger fans like I do. The excitement level is through the roof for the Rangers, and solely because of this guy. Now, that's a lot to put on the shoulders of someone like him. But like you said, he doesn't need to step in and be the Connor McDavid or Jack Eichel of the Rangers. And because of that, and I'm not like a gambling man, I would bet my mortgage he's not going to hit 80 points in his rookie season. Not because that's not possible for him. It's not going to be asked of him in the first
season. It's not going to be asked of him. But if you look around at the pieces he has around him, I mean, if you throw him on that first line with him and Panarin and Zibanejad, I mean, how many points is that line? If he plays up, because I've seen him play, you know, his highlights. I mean, I've probably, as soon as the Rangers got the first pick, that's when I really started to go down the rabbit hole of Lafreniere. It's insane what this guy could do.
Oh,
sure. He's the way I mean, I think the best comparison is maybe a McKinnon with Crosby-like passing ability.
Hmm.
And then obviously he has a little size that he needs to pack on, but I mean, I see him. I think a reasonable, if you want to maybe throw a, if any gamblers out there, if you really want to put a bet on him, I think probably expect, I want to say 65. I feel like these guys kind of always, sometimes, I mean, not, you know, the Cal Makars, I mean, you know, not those Western Conference defensemen, but, you know, most of these guys, we saw it with Jack Hughes. He had a very disappointing year, and he just plays right across the river from where Lafreniere is going to be playing. So I wouldn't see a reason. I could also see him not having a good year just because, you know, he does have the personality to deal with a market like New York, but at the same time, you never know until they're actually there.
Right.
And remember, at the end of the day, these are kids. He's exactly. going to be 19 by season's end. So,
exactly. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. And you know, I'm still early in my research of all these rookie prospects. But one that I just want to throw out quickly is Marco Rossi. He can score like nobody's business, and his points per game production was right behind Lafreniere. So.
Yeah.
He's ranked number 4 overall, so who knows where he could go based on team need. But I think he is going to be something to watch. Just remember the name. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember maybe a couple of years ago I heard something about Rossi and him kind of, you know, when these guys were really starting to make themselves known. Kind of that's when the Rossi Lafreniere conversation sort of started. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the one thing that always stuck with me was, you know, Rossi did have like that deadly scoring ability. He had 120 points, which led the Canadian Hockey League this year, only in 56 games, which is insane.
EA level.
Yeah. And he's remember. And like, he did all that as an 18-year-old at 5'9", 183 pounds.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is just ridiculous. Crazy. That's like Mario Lemieux Quebec League type numbers almost. So, you know, and then I spoke with the hosts of Locked On Red Wings, and obviously the Red Wings have the 4th overall pick, and they're really loving Jake Sanderson, defenseman. Mm-hmm. He's the son of Jeff Sanderson, so maybe that's part of it too. It looks like everything. He's a facilitator, and he's a big kid for his age. He's 6'1" and 186 pounds. He is going to college, so it's not one of those situations where he might just jump to the NHL right away. So that's one of the things that especially Red Wings fans have to kind of. Maybe think about as if they're really on the Sanderson train, is that you might not have this guy until maybe a year or two in, depending on how he develops out there at North Dakota. Mm. I do remember seeing him play a little bit with Team USA over the past year. And it shows you that he's, you know, still very young, but he's, you know, they don't just name anybody captain of Team USA.
Sure.
So, you know, that shows that he brings that leadership trait to the team as well, especially in a franchise where, you know, obviously you're going to have Dylan Larkin probably be your future captain, but you could also build that franchise with the possibility of a guy like Jake Sanderson.
Right, right.
There as well.
Exactly. Yeah, I love drafts. I love to see where all this will play out. So, and like I said, the good news is we don't have to wait too long. So,
yes, it's right on the corner. It's such a strange time to, you know, we're still in the playoffs, like you said, when we first started talking about all this.
Yeah. And we're going to be drafting in October.
See, remember when you said before how, like, you know, can the Lightning make a trade while they're still in the playoffs?
Right.
Too bad they can't draft the guy right now and just bring him
just
up.
Just do the draft right now.
Exactly. Hey, here's your sweater and your plane ticket to Edmonton.
If you happen to get drafted by a team that's still playing, you can play, and we'll figure out the logistics of it later on.
So exactly. Don't even sign your contract.
No, of course not. No. Yeah. You don't even need an insurance plan. Just go out and play.
Exactly.
We'll cover for you. So, all right, man. So, how do we end this thing? I think we're just, we'll see you guys, I guess, next Thursday. We're going to be back on Thursday for a little while.
Yes.
If you want to follow our individual shows, I host the Locked On Avalanche. Adam hosts Locked On Lightning. You can follow me. I do most of my Twitter stuff on my Locked On Avalanche podcast. So LOPN_Avalanche is the Twitter feed for that. Yours would be
LO_Lightning. And then obviously you could follow me as well as my personal account at APDenker, DENKER. And of course, go ahead, if you want to find out more about our teams individually, you could go on to our shows. Wherever you find podcasts, wherever they're available, remember to like and subscribe. Hopefully next time we do this, I'll be discussing the Lightning playing the Stars and not at home playing golf.
I would like.
I have to admit, I am very cautiously optimistic right now. What happened in game 5 was not something you want to see, especially out of a team that's on the verge of playing in the Cup Finals.
Right.
So, you know, if God forbid Point were to go down during the Cup Finals and Stamkos is not ready to come back, I mean, Vasilevskiy's going to have to pitch a shutout.
Which he's capable of doing.
Which he's very capable of doing. And I have to say, I'm a little disappointed with him because I did come out in my pregame episode that I did for Game 5 in which I did predict Vasilevskiy pitching a shutout. And I've been almost 100% of all my predictions throughout this whole playoff run, and he just let me down. Obviously, that's not all him. That's just the Lightning just having a lot of holes on the other side of the ice in the defensive zone and just not being able to equal the intensity that was being brought out by the Islanders.
They'll be fine. Don't worry. Yeah. You're thinking about it too
much. I'm starting to freak out now as more I talk about it after I was trying to be the voice of reason.
All right, guys. Thank you for tuning in. Yeah, we'll see you next Thursday.
And we'll talk to you on the next one.
All right.